Tonight, NBC News exclusive inside the government's massive operation to protect Election Day from a cyber attack. What we've learned about the threat, the risk, and the response, and those trying to sow confusion and chaos. Rare appearance, 5 days to go. Melania Trump hits the trail for her husband, pushing his softer side. And what she said about her role as First Lady is raising eyebrows tonight. Virtual kidnapping, a terrifying new twist on an old scam, tricking people into thinking their loved ones have been abducted, demanding ransom to get them back. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We begin with an NBC News exclusive about Election Day, just 5 days away, and the deep concern that has the nation's intelligence services on edge tonight. With all of us transfixed on the tight race between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, we've learned the government has been quietly but urgently taking unprecedented steps to deal with the possibility of cyber attacks designed to sow confusion and throw the American election into chaos. And would-be attackers may have already offered a disturbing preview. NBC News senior investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden has details.
Officials in the Department of Homeland Security, the military, and the intelligence community tell NBC News the U.S. government is gearing up for an unprecedented effort to protect the country on Election Day. According to multiple intelligence sources, U.S. officials are deeply concerned about and preparing for some sort of cyber chaos next week. Current and former officials say an attack on critical infrastructure, including the U.S. power grid, is one of three worst-case concerns. One highly placed intelligence source told NBC News, "Your vote is safe, you just might not have any lights." Also on the worry list, a large-scale denial of service. In other words, part of the internet goes down. Or a cyber attack to disable communications and transportation in swing states. But intelligence sources and a senior Obama national security official tell NBC News they believe a more likely scenario is that hackers from Russia or elsewhere will try to manipulate Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms to sow confusion and chaos. A parallel concern is an 11th-hour release of fake documents implicating one of the candidates in an explosive way without time for it to be fact-checked. And it isn't just the Russians. Multiple intelligence and law enforcement officials tell NBC News the concern is just as much about non-state actors, hackers, political activists, and criminal mischief makers. While multiple intelligence officials tell NBC they have no specific warning about an Election Day attack, they also say they consider the massive and sophisticated internet disruption last month a rehearsal or an inspiration for the real thing.
The dying DDoS activity that occurred on the 21st of October has definitely been seen by many in cybersecurity field as potentially a drill associated with a real event. It had all the signs of what you would consider a drill to be.
Intelligence sources tell NBC News that the United States has communicated red lines to the Russians through diplomatic and back channels regarding just how seriously any cyber attack would be viewed by the U.S.
The president has been briefed about his options if there is some sort of cyber attack. And I should say, Lester, all the experts we talked to say the public should be comforted by these preparations, including the ones they hope never to have to use.
Well, these are disturbing scenarios, but let's get down to brass tacks. My vote, your vote. Will, is there any fear that the tally could somehow be tampered with or...
So the intelligence sources we talked to said they believe it is highly unlikely that the tallies can be tampered with.
All right, Cynthia, thanks very much. Meantime, as the feds brace for Election Day, the candidates are bracing as well, crisscrossing battleground states. And at this point, it's all about turnout. On the Trump side, a rare appearance today by Melania Trump, raising eyebrows with her message. And on the Clinton side, once again, getting a boost from the president, pleading for his supporters to turn out for Clinton in 5 days. We have it all covered, starting with NBC's Andrea Mitchell in Battleground, North Carolina. Andrea, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. Aides say Hillary Clinton is not going to be talking anymore about the FBI and those emails. She's going to be focusing on getting out the vote. But here in North Carolina, there are problems. Some African Americans say they're not inspired by her. Others say when they try to vote, they can't. Tonight, Hillary Clinton in battleground North Carolina, going hard after Donald Trump.
Imagine having a president who demeans women, mocks the disabled, insults African Americans and Latinos.
All part of a coordinated final sprint to turn out the base. President Obama in Florida.
Anybody who is upset about a Saturday Night Live skit, you don't want in charge of nuclear weapons. You can't make excuses for this stuff. This isn't a joke. This isn't Survivor. This isn't The Bachelorette. This counts.
Tim Kaine making a pitch entirely in Spanish in Arizona.
Entonces necesitamos.
But top Clinton aides telling NBC News North Carolina is key. If Clinton's ground game can beat Trump here, they say he'll have no path to the White House. But to win here, she needs a higher African-American turnout than she's getting. In a state, a federal appeals court ruled in July has voting restrictions, including a photo ID law that target African-Americans with almost surgical precision.
The other side's strategy is to scare people and intimidate people from going to the polls.
They couldn't find you in the rolls?
At all.
And you had just voted?
Just voted in the primary.
18-year-old Federica Smith went to vote with her mom for the primary, but says she was taken off the rolls for the general election.
I was just like, maybe they don't want me to vote.
100-year-old Grace Hardison says it happened to her, too.
I didn't feel good.
The president calling it discrimination.
This 100-year-old woman wasn't alone in being targeted. The list of voters Republicans tried to purge was two-thirds black and Democratic.
The NAACP now suing election officials, saying thousands of African Americans were illegally removed from voter rolls by Republican challenges. But state officials say it's fair.
More than 40 states have similar challenge provisions.
Still, a federal judge hearing the case Wednesday, who has yet to rule, was sharply critical.
The judge said that this was an insane process, that it sounded like something that goes back to 1901.
That may be something General Assembly wants to look at, but county boards of elections are just carrying out their roles and their duty.
A high-stakes legal battle where turnout is critical. President Obama here yesterday, returns tomorrow. He won here in 2008 by just 14,000 votes. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Raleigh.
I'm Katie Turr. 5 days out, and for the first time since her rocky convention speech, Melania Trump was on the stump, giving the softer side of Donald Trump.
He certainly knows how to shake things up.
Raising the curtain on what she would focus on as First Lady, bullying, notably on social media.
Our culture has gotten too mean and too rough. We have to find a better way to talk to each other, to disagree with each other, to respect each other.
Her words, a contrast, as her husband has built a campaign around personal insults, often lobbed on Twitter.
I gotta remember
little Marco Rubio.
He's a sleaze, in my book.
Melania was trying to convince women in the crucial Philadelphia suburbs her husband, who watched from his plane, deserved their vote. Pennsylvania is still proving to be a hurdle for Trump. The latest poll shows him down 4. Same goes for North Carolina, where Trump is down 3. Both states must wins, staying on message and on prompter at rallies. Last night admitting he can be his own worst enemy.
Stay on point, Donald, stay on point. No sidetracks, Donald, nice and easy.
Today in Jacksonville, falsely alleging Clinton is under criminal investigation for the Clinton Foundation.
The FBI is investigating how Hillary Clinton put the office of Secretary of State up for sale in violation of federal law.
A senior law enforcement official tells NBC News after an initial look, the case has not moved an inch in months. Tonight, a worst-case scenario is being discussed among some Republican circles, talk of a special prosecutor or impeachment if Hillary Clinton does get elected. Lester.
Katie Turr in North Carolina tonight. Thank you. Let's bring in NBC News political analyst Nicole Wallace. Nicole, as we've said before, you've been there 5 days from the election.
Right.
You've only got so much money, so much time. You want to be certain places. What do we read into what happens now?
So here's where we are right now. We are, the window was closing for both campaigns to introduce any new arguments, and they've both settled on closing messages that have been effective. Hillary Clinton and her super surrogates, including the president and Mrs. Obama, are prosecuting a case against Trump's temperament, against his character, simply calling him unfit to serve. But Trump has also landed on a closing message that was successful for him in the primaries, that Obamacare isn't working out for people, that it's time for something different, that it's time for an outsider. And he finds himself on offense. The problem, as we talked about last night, is the map and the math. And the path for him is demographically and structurally very difficult.
All right, Nicole, thanks very much.
Thank you.
A program note, our election night coverage begins at 7 Eastern time, 4 Pacific, Decision Night in America. We hope you'll join us on Tuesday. We turn now to a tragic day for U.S. forces overseas. 2 American service members were killed, 4 others injured, while supporting a night raid against a Taliban target in Afghanistan, according to 2 senior U.S. military officials. Soon after their choppers landed in Kunduz, they came under gunfire. U.S. forces responded with airstrikes, which the Afghans claim killed as many as 30 civilians, but that toll has not been confirmed by the U.S. We're back with a new scam that the FBI says is growing, snaring victims over the phone with terrifying details of how they've kidnapped a loved one. The FBI calls it virtual kidnapping. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
The call from Mexico came while Wendy Mueller was working in the kitchen. It sounded like her daughter, away at college, crying frantically.
Mom, I'm scared. I don't know where I am.
Then a man's voice.
We have your daughter. We snatched her off the street. If you do everything we say, you'll see her again.
It was the start of 6 hours of terror.
I became pretty hysterical, started crying, and please don't hurt her.
The caller warned her not to hang up or call the police, to withdraw $10,000 from her bank, then start driving.
He was saying things like, take your next right, and there will be a Western Union on the right-hand side.
He was tracking you on Google Maps.
Yes.
Directing her to locations across Virginia to wire the money to bank accounts in Mexico.
You were thinking, I'm just trying to keep my daughter alive.
Yes, yes, I'll do anything you ask me to do.
Terrified she was being watched and tracked, she did as she was told. The FBI says it's a growing scam. The con artists, usually in Mexico, often find family names and phone numbers on social media to target their victims.
They really are getting more and more skilled at creating that level of anxiety with the individuals they're talking to over the phone to really make them believe that their family members, their loved one, is being held against their will.
The FBI's advice, limit your personal information posted online. If a virtual kidnapper calls, demand proof your loved one is being held by asking something only they would know.
He knew exactly the buttons to push.
Yes.
On any mom.
Yes, absolutely. What's more precious than your child?
It wasn't until her daughter texted during the scam that Wendy realized she was safe and sound, still in college. But her money gone forever. And police say it's highly unlikely the suspect will ever be found. Tom Costello, NBC News, Leesburg, Virginia.
We're back in a moment with what science just revealed about why some songs get so stuck in your head. A horrifying discovery in South Carolina where police say Kayla Brown, a woman missing for 2 months, has been found alive, chained inside a storage container on property owned by a registered sex offender. That man is now under arrest, and police are digging up his property after Brown revealed there may be 4 bodies buried there. Brown disappeared in August with her boyfriend. He remains missing tonight. A new warning from doctors this evening about your kids and all the salt they're consuming. CDC researchers say nearly 90% of children surveyed are consuming too much sodium in their diets. It could lead to major health problems down the road, raising the risk of heart disease and stroke later in life. High levels of salt are consumed mostly during dinner, hidden in foods like pizza, burgers, bread, and even soup. Ever get a song stuck in your head, keeps going around and around? Now science has an explanation as to why some tunes are so contagiously catchy. A new study claims it's a combination of fast tempo, easy-to-remember melodies, and unusual leaps or repetitions. Researchers listed the top earworm songs with Bad Romance by Lady Gaga at number 1, followed appropriately by Kylie Minogue's Can't Get You Out of My Head and Journey's Don't Stop Believin'. And I won't stop humming it. When we come back, a woman waging a big battle to pull her neighborhood out of ruin and winning. Finally tonight, we visit a small city that once had big things going for it way back when Ford opened a Model T plant there. Then, like the surrounding city of Detroit, it fell on tough times. But our Hema Ellis introduces us to one woman on a mission to bring her city back to life in our latest installment of Inspiring America.
This is the sound of hope in Highland Park, Michigan. A city being reinvented, one broken building at a time.
The house is going to be torn down.
Shamaim Harris, nicknamed Mama Shu, is leading the way.
Somebody had to do it, and this block was totally abandoned.
One of my most favorite things.
Her mission began after the tragic loss of her two-year-old son, Jacoby, killed by a hit-and-run driver in 2007.
It was the worst day. It was the worst day.
She transformed her grief into a constructive force in her neighborhood, this once prosperous city now plagued by drugs and crime. Fire Chief Kevin Coney says she's turning it around.
She came around here and spruced this whole neighborhood up.
So are you independently wealthy, Mama Shu?
I wish. I sold fish sandwiches for $5, and I saved up money in a cigar box.
Determined, she bought an old house for $3,000, moved in, and made a plan.
Still needs a lot of work.
It does.
When word spread of her efforts, donations poured in, enough to buy 11 properties now cleaned up with the help of volunteers. Even Ellen DeGeneres noticed.
I mean, what you're doing is so incredible.
The difference is startling. This lot before and now, a park in Jacoby's name. Plans also include ball courts, a garden, library, and a cafe. Energy efficiency is part of her mission, too. Luma Solar donated the panels for this building, a safe place for kids like Chloe Wilder to go after school.
I feel really special.
Get it!
Mama Shu turning blight into beauty, healing herself and her neighborhood. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Highland Park, Michigan.
One woman getting it done. That's going to do it for us on this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.